from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, April 25th. Coming up, Midwest pork producers are looking for more resources to fight back against efforts to change how they raise their pigs. We'll learn more from Harvest Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The National Science Foundation has given two groups of University of Illinois researchers awards totaling more than $40 million. NSF Director Sethuraman Panchanathan was on the U of I campus Friday to announce the awards. He says the grants will have a much wider impact than just the University of Illinois campus.
It's about bringing together universities like the Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, Illinois, as well as the community colleges and others and K-12 institutions to really make this impact felt not only in the great place of Champaign, Illinois, but all across the state of Illinois and all across our nation.
The two grants will support the Computer Science Department's Mind in Vitro project and the National Center for Supercomputing Applications' upcoming Access program. U of I research shows that every dollar spent on scientific research at the university generates an additional $1.14 in additional economic impact in the state. The autism program at the University of Illinois continues to provide an online summer camp for prospective students with autism. Illinois Newsroom's student journalist Luis Velasquez has more.
The iReady Summer Camp is a week-long online experience that encourages and promotes college readiness for students on the autism spectrum. This is the second year that high school students can enroll in the program, and about 30 students took part last year. Jeannie Kramer is the director of the autism program. She says they're adding an application process for this year's program.
We really are interested in students who are planning or seriously considering going to college. So we're kind of taking a little closer look at their motivation for why they're coming to camp, which may make the numbers smaller this year.
Kramer meets with parents on the first and last day of the program. She talks to them about how they can help prepare their children for the college transition. She says she hopes this program guides prospective students on the autism spectrum about whether college is the right choice for them. I am Luis Velasquez, Illinois Newsroom.
3, 2, 1!
Champaign-Urbana residents cheered as artist Langston Alston cut a ceremonial ribbon on Friday, officially unveiling the Urbana Free Library's new mural at the Cunningham Township Building in Urbana. The professional muralist helped design the work with input from community members. Volunteers then helped Alston paint the mural throughout April. Alston says the artwork brings together the various visions of the community members who helped create it.
So we just like talked about elements that should be in the mural, talked about what people wanted to see represented and who they wanted to see represented, and we tried to kind of come up with something that would fit with everybody's vision for how things should be. And I think we did a pretty good job with that.
The mural covers two sides of the Cunningham Township Building in Urbana. It was funded by a City of Urbana Arts and Culture grant and the Urbana Free Library Foundation. About 100 people gathered at Douglas Park in Champaign Saturday to celebrate the life and legacy of John Cleo Bud Johnson, Jr., better known as Bud. He led the Douglas Center Drum Corps during the 1960s and 1970s. Eunice Alpazon of the Illinois Student Newsroom has more.
Former Douglas Center Drum Corps members perform at Douglas Park in Champaign as part of a send-off to their friend, Bud Johnson, who grew up in the area. Champaign-Urbana resident Azark David Cobbs was one of many who was mentored by Johnson growing up. He says Johnson is a big part of the legacy, history-making, and heartbeat of the community.
When you take the 60s and the 70s, the times that we were going in, and it took somebody real strong leadership on both sides of town to bring everybody together, and too many people couldn't do that because, you know, you had gang and violence that we have right now, but Bud brought everybody together as one, as a unit and everything. He could never be replaced in this community.
Johnson passed away last September in Yuma, Arizona, at the age of 79. I'm Eunice Alpazon, Illinois Student Newsroom.
On Saturday, a tree was planted at Douglas Park in honor of Johnson's lasting impact on the Champaign community. Still to come, we'll learn why Midwest pork farmers are reducing the amount of money they send to their checkoff program, which is used for advertising their product. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
I'm Tanisha Spain, host of Mid-American Gardener. Through all the extraordinary changes of the past 100 years, WILL has been a steady source of music, connection, and community. As we celebrate a century of making waves in our community, you can help kickstart our next 100 years and help us reach our goal by April 27th with a gift today in support of our Spring Fund Drive at willgive.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Pork producers are feeling threatened by attempts to change the way they raise pigs. That's led them to a surprising move. They're reducing the amount of money they automatically give to the Pork Checkoff, the industry's fund for marketing, education, and research. Harvest Public Media's Jonathan All reports on their gamble.
Back in 2018, California voters passed a ballot measure that shook much of the pork industry. It created animal production space requirements. That means any pork sold in the state has to be from an operation that doesn't confine its pigs to small spaces. That would eliminate most pigs raised in the Midwest, but not all of them. About a dozen small pigs are running around a fenced area on DL Farms in south central Missouri. Dave Busby, the D in DL, only raises about 24 pigs a year during warm weather months. He says he works hard to make sure his pigs have it good.
I'll get in here with them and sit with them for a while, and they'll come up and talk. I can't imagine if I was a pig, where could you have what they have here? Especially when I open it up and they get to roam a whole lot more. You get to see sides of them that I don't think you'd see at all in a CAFO.
A CAFO is a concentrated animal feeding operation where pigs, cows, or chickens are kept in climate-controlled stalls with almost no room to move. It's how most meat is produced in the U.S., and what makes it both cheap at the grocery store and profitable for producers. Opponents of CAFOs are using state laws, ballot measures, and legal challenges to try and stop it. The pork producers are fighting back by taking money away from the National Pork Checkoff. That's a fund made up of a small percentage of every pound of ham, bacon, and chops produced in the U.S. It goes towards education, research, and marketing to help sell pork. An example is a very successful advertising campaign from the 80s and 90s.
Pork, the other white meat.
But that money is very regulated in how it's used. Bill Even, CEO of the National Pork Board, says one place the rules strictly prohibit it from going toward is lobbying.
Because different people may have different opinions on different legislative topics. That was an area that was excluded from our jurisdiction.
Pork producers have decided lobbying is important. So important that earlier this year they voted to decrease money for the checkoff, that guaranteed money for marketing, education, and research, so that pig farmers would voluntarily give more money for lobbying efforts. Scott Brown is an agricultural economist at the University of Missouri. He says pork producers see a big need to protect against efforts to change their industry.
Rarely in the past did we ever have a situation where you had an industry that was feeling like those from the outside were dictating how their industry should produce a product. And we're seeing a lot more of that today.
Less advertising in exchange for the possibility of more lobbying is good news for some producers.
This is the first time in the history of the world that we have to fight people to feed them.
Scott Hayes is a hog farmer in northeast Missouri. He says he's frustrated by the laws and lawsuits that are challenging the way he raises his 5,000 sows. Fighting back against what he calls ridiculous rules should be the industry's top priority.
That's where we need, you know, producer money to be spent, you know, to guard what we do and so that we can continue to provide a safe, wholesome product for consumers.
Hayes says he will take the money he saves from the pork checkoff fees and voluntarily give it to the lobbying wing of pork producers. But small producers like Dave Busby aren't interested in that trade-off.
I don't want to benefit Smithfield. I don't need to benefit Cargill. These giant producers, they don't need me. They need me to buy their product, but they don't need me.
Busby says he doesn't think any small producer will voluntarily give any money to lobbying and legal efforts.
Well, I'll believe that when all of us sit down here and agree that they should raise our taxes too. I'm skeptical.
But there aren't many small producers, and the large ones who want more money for lobbying could make it a well-funded endeavor. I'm Jonathan All, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have mostly cloudy skies today with a high of 58 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Luis Velasquez. Jacqueline Barba, Eunice Albazan, and Jonathan All. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.